Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
I'm Mike Lupica, MLB.com and the New York Daily News. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Sports Reporters podcast. And this doesn't happen a whole heck of a lot, and nothing against a city I love, Detroit, Michigan. But we don't often start with Detroit stories. But there was an intersection this weekend between a guy, Bryson DeChambeau, who has become the biggest star in golf right now, and a terrific, the Rocket Mortgage in Detroit, which is, Mitch informs me, is just like maybe 7 miles. Is that right? 7 miles outside of downtown?
A little less from the dead smack center of downtown. Huh?
And Mitch, the only way I can describe as a lifelong golfer, and you guys know how much I love this sport, because of the way Bryson DeChambeau has bulked up, because of the way he takes the most furious swing, and this includes John Daly, I have ever seen in professional golf. Mitch, when I watch him play right now, it's like he's just brought the slam dunk to the PGA Tour, but it is riveting to watch him. He's a mad scientist combined with now being a bodybuilder. And Mitch, he plays good every round since they started this thing back up. Every single round, he's around the leaderboard. And yesterday he finally won. It's been a great show.
Well, he's 26 years old, and you said before we were talking, you know, wow, he's kind of become the biggest star in golf right now. You know, Tiger's not playing, and I said, well, that makes him the biggest star in sports right now.
Golf is effectively
the only thing that's going on. And you know, people, you know, the chicks love the long ball commercial and all the rest of it.
Right.
Well, people do like big hits in everything, whether it be a big hit of a baseball or long three-pointers or slap shots from 40 feet out or whatever. And so golf has that type of element to it that you like to see guys get up and just whack it, and it's measurable. You know, they can tell you that was 300. When you're over 300, right, it's already big news. But he had some that were 340 and 348. And so at a time where, you know, there isn't any sports, he and his diet have become a massive story in sports.
He waited till the group ahead of him got off the green on a 399-yard hole.
He asked Matthew Wolf. Did you hear him ask Matthew Wolf? And Wolf kind of said, I think I'd wait, Bryson.
Well, what comes to mind for me is there's a subculture that I doubt you've ever paid any attention to, of these long hitters. There's a long hitter, I don't know, tour, but people we've never heard of who've been smashing golf balls beyond those. We have no idea if any of these guys can actually play golf. There's a, you know, that this is their thing. They hit the ball all well. They don't have to then hit a second shot. It's all about distance. So number one, distance has always been a part. But this guy, the thing about it is the combination he put together with, you know, the old adage about drive for show, putt for dough. He putted for the dough, right?
No, he's reimagining the game, and it's not like, you know, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy are going to go out and do this. But you know what? There's a thing that will happen now, and they see how Mitch, that's a great old golf club there in Detroit, and he made it look like a pitch and putt course sometimes because of his length. And guys, listen to the announcers. Listen to Faldo, okay? And Ian Baker Finch talk about what they're actually witnessing and how he's made this just for himself the new normal. It's like him against the golf course, Mitch, has become a contact sport. Okay.
Well, that's what it was 20 years ago with Tiger, though. And this is just a whole other level.
But there had been other long hitters, Bob. Nobody that I have ever seen swings the driver the way he does.
Except for those long distance guys I was
Nicholas
alluding to,
was long
none of whom we can ever, you know, name.
Well, I haven't followed his career that way. Did he, last year, did he hit it big too?
No.
Is it just
a
result of
normal,
this weight?
he was a normal hitter. Okay, he was a normal long hitter, and he'd won like five times on the tour, Mitch. So he's a really good player. And there was the whole thing when he started; all of his clubs were the same length. Yeah. And I don't want to get into the weeds on that, but he is.
No, get into it. It's
he's literally a mad scientist. Okay, that up and back and that is his swing is different from everybody else's swing throughout the rest of the bag. But now he's doing this thing with the driver, and it's like a wonder to behold. But people are talking about him, and I before when we were getting ready today, Tyler and I were talking about this interview that he had done in the press room about his daily what he eats on a daily basis, and it's like four or five eggs for breakfast, bacon, seven protein shakes throughout the day, snacks all day, then steak and potatoes and whatever the hell else he eats at night. And at the end of this interview, he said, "So it's like my caloric intake is like 3,000." And Jim Nantz said, "No, your caloric intake is 3,000 at breakfast."
Yeah. It's not, by the way, those of you listening who are saying, "I've got to run out and do this thing." This is not a healthy diet. This is a good way to put on weight and put pack a lot of protein. I would not in any way, as someone who studies nutrition, recommend this to anybody. First of all, any diet that includes five pieces of bacon every day is not something you want to recommend. Toast, he eats bread, he eats potatoes, he eats a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at lunch. And he has all these protein shakes, which while protein shakes, it can be okay for you if you have one and you're trying to, get a little bulk when you're lifting weights. To drink seven of them is probably putting pressure on your kidneys and your liver and everything else that has to absorb all that protein.
And your colon.
That's way too much for a given day. And he shouldn't be doing this over the long haul or he's going to hurt himself. But at 26, it'll pack weight on you. And he's now 6'1", 240. Which is our numbers that you associate with the NFL, with a
he's got JJ Watt's body. He's just shorter.
Yeah. So he had won 367 yards yesterday. As I'm looking through all the numbers, it wasn't 340. So yeah, it's really impressive. But what's more impressive, I think, is his consistency. That he's been in the top eight for the last six tournaments, I think, right? Six yep. straight top
eight
finishes.
Oh, no, he plays good. Mitch, he plays good every day. He plays good every single day.
Now, he doesn't have any kind of major record. I mean, the highest he's ever been in a major was 15, so he's got to have to do that for. But, that's how at 26, you gather your PGA victories, and then you eventually break through in some major, and it'll be interesting to see
and
if
Mitch,
he's got that going
Bob,
this year.
Matthew Wolf, the kid, he's only 21, who finished second yesterday. He's really long. I mean, he's got a funky swing of his own, but he's really long. And I forget what the numbers were, how much DeChambeau, they weren't playing together, outdrove him by yardage yesterday. So it's become a thing, and it's become the kind of thing we love in sports, which is he's somebody to talk about now. He's somebody to watch. And I don't know if I assume he's playing next week. I wouldn't stop playing if I were him. No. The people are going to want to watch this because after five PGA Tour, Bobby, after five PGA Tour victories, he has reinvented himself. He has reimagined himself. And he's the guy everybody's talking about.
Okay, Michael, you're the golfer. Do you like this? You actually like this?
Well,
I'm asking.
Yeah, no, I do like it. I hate to see length churning golf courses into what feels like a nine-hole mini or muni in your town, Bob. I mean, the one thing I would rather them do, because they'll never scale back the clubs, is they got to do something about the golf ball, which is, it's the old line about baseballs when a lot of home runs are being hit. If you pick up a Titleist now or a TaylorMade, you can feel a slight pulse in the palm of your hand, okay? And so that bothers me a little. But again, right now, you always do embrace something new in sports. And guys, I was thinking about this watching him yesterday. Imagine if player X in baseball had come back over the long... Aroldis Chapman is the X that comes to mind. It comes to mind and looked this completely different. What would you be thinking?
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Speaking of which, I thought you love Araldis' new vehicle. You see that?
Yeah. Okay. If he needs to invade Connecticut, I think he's all set in that vehicle. Mm-hmm. Don't you, Bob?
Yeah, definitely. He's a one-man, force. Should we say?
But Mitch, Mitch, you're not a big golf fan. Okay, I mean, you watch it and you've covered it from time to time. But doesn't he? Say it wasn't the Rocket Mortgage in Detroit this week. You would have watched because of what this guy's doing.
It's the same way that people who are casual baseball fans flip around every 2-3 innings to see when a home run hitter is up, to see if he's going to jack one. I mean, people love that, and I've got no problem with these. As long as he's doing it legally and he's not juicing, I think it's wonderful for the sport. And what'll be interesting is that, we have all the championships, except the British Open, obviously, still ahead. And the PGA's in early August, which is not far from now. And then the U.S. Open is in mid-September, and in November of all times, mm-hmm. when you're normally heavy deep in the NFL and college football, they'll play the Masters if things go according to schedule. So there's much to look forward to in golf, and I think as this has shaken out and become, and by the way, it was still interesting that with no fans there, there were still a couple moments where Bryson DeChambeau took offense, one with a cameraman and one with, I guess there were some protests outside, not of the golf thing, but, some gathering protests in the streets, as there are in cities across America right now. And, I had to stop and wait for it to be finished. So a golfer can be disturbed even when there's no fans around. But as this becomes the new norm, and we're getting more and more used to it, and golf does not seem that unusual without fans. It just doesn't.
It doesn't.
It's missing something. Yeah. It's missing something. But the commentators make up for it. By the time we get into the thick of it with all these tournaments between now and then, the Memorial and the Deer and all the rest of those, and then you get to the PGA, golf may very well, with all the doubts that we're going to soon talk about in the other sports, golf may be the steady ballast in coronavirus world that continues on unabated, without interruption of disease, without great disruption, without issues about do you have to close down practice facilities and all the rest, because it's the perfect sport for this disease. Guys are individuals, and if they go home in between tournaments and they contract the virus, they just drop off the tour and nobody else is affected except you've lost one of your star players. But that happens to injury, that happens to scheduling and all the rest. So I'm glad that golf is getting this kind of exposure.
And by the way, just put this down 1 week from today. 1 week, meaning next week, okay? The Memorial Tournament is going to be played, Jack's Tournament in Ohio. I think Tiger is scheduled to play. If they don't put him in the same pairing with Bryson DeChambeau for the first two rounds, guys, they're nuts.
Mike, while we mention, just to give people, including myself, especially myself, a perspective, how far would the vintage Jack hit? Off the tee.
Oh, I mean, in his time, or how far do I think he would hit
now? Vintage Jack.
No, he could get it. He could get it to 300 back in the day, Bob. As especially, he was 40 in 1980. So he was a byproduct of the equipment boom in the 1970s. So Jack could hit it, and Tiger could crank it, and then what? And remember what they did, guys. They tiger-proofed Augusta.
They were
afraid that he had turned Augusta National into a par 68 golf course. And then the other guys, he got into shape. Then everybody got into shape. What is interesting about this is Bryson didn't just get into shape. I mean, he got into shape, obviously, but he started eating everything and anything. And, guys, when you watch pro golf now, and you watch these skinny young guys hit it a mile, it's kind of amazing, okay? And the other thing that's amazing, and again, this is inside baseball, he's hitting a driver with 7 degrees of loft, okay? And it's, so he everything he is doing he's the Rocket Mortgage, okay? He wants to hit the ball out of sight, and yeah, chick.
Boy, you just gave them their new slogan for next year here, Mike. The rocket in Rocket Mortgage, Bryson DeChambeau.
Is back. Still, yeah, to defend. Anyway, it's yeah. Hey, listen, for all of the grim stuff that we've been talking about for four months, okay, this is fun.
Well, isn't the story now, still the idea, Michael, that he finished it off with the flat stick, as we say?
Yep.
That's
yep.
the difference. I mean, I'm just coming back to what I was saying. Length's wonderful. Hoorah. It's not the whole game of golf.
No, Matthew Wolf. Hey, Bob, you watched yesterday, and Mitch, you watched. Matthew Wolf could have beaten him yesterday, but he missed about four or five much shorter putts than Bryson made coming down the stretch, and it was the difference between first place and second place.
So the adage is still holding up, right? No matter what he is doing, the adage of drive for show, putt for dough is still holding up. Correct.
Well, we'll
probably always. I'd like to think we'll always hold up.
But he's really he's really driving for show right now.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
When he figures out a substitute for the five pieces of bacon, he'll be better off.
How about the shirt with the equations that he was wearing? He has embraced everything that makes him quirky, and I think it's great.
All right, we're going to take a shift here now from the things that are playing to more news about things and people that are not playing. But before we do that, a word from our friends at Geico. Hey, friends, did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? You want your dog to make you breakfast in bed with Belgian waffles and a fresh fruit compote? As nice as that sounds, that's probably never going to happen, but at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. All right, we'll do the coronavirus roundup, okay? Round the coronavirus horn we go. We'll begin with the world of baseball, where the biggest news is that Dodgers pitcher David Price, who was counted on for being, you know, part of a rotation that was being favored to win a World Series, has announced that he is not going to play baseball this year. He is opting out for family reasons, and he, I don't think, will be the last, but he is certainly, wouldn't you say, as of now, the biggest name has said this, and on a really big team that everybody was looking for to get there. And you know, without any, I mean, I've read through, I know David, he played here for a number of years, very thoughtful guy, if any pitcher was going to do this after thinking it through, it wouldn't surprise me that it was him. He's been everywhere and done everything, you know, including a lot of disappointments in his life and a lot of successes. And he has just decided it's not worth it. After considerable thought and discussion with my family, the Dodgers, I've decided it's in the best interest of my health and my family's health for me not to play this season. I'll miss my teammates. I'll be cheering for them. I'm sorry, but I'll be back next year. Now, he's 34. I'm not aware of him having any kind of huge underlying health conditions. And the fact that he has a couple young kids only makes him unique in baseball, as it, you know, pretty much every other guy is in the same situation. So what struck me about this is that there wasn't some really huge, significant thing for him, unless I'm overlooking or he's not sharing something. And yet he still opted out. And that means that that's probably going to be other guys doing the same with equal reasons, don't you think?
Bob.
Well, there's one other.
He has made over $200 million in his career.
Thank you.
Bobby. His contract, I believe, Bob, you correct me, it was $217 million when he signed it with the Red Sox. Guy, here's what I was surprised about. There was no great outcry about that. Okay. Everybody just took this as a matter of course. And it just makes me wonder if this is he's an outlier in terms of his place as a star in baseball. Okay. Is he an outlier or what happens? I keep thinking this. What happens to guys on the bubble who just are reluctantly going back to camp if the biggest star in the sport, Michael Trout, finally elects not to play because of his pregnant wife?
I think there's I think what you were alluding to is that there may be a very underlying sentiment. Right. You're right, Mike. I mean, you summed it up with the people on the bubble, people who, well, I guess I want to play, but no.
Right.
And,
right.
Now this tips the scale a little bit. Theoretically, yeah. I mean, I think the three of us are in agreement that we'll be pleasantly surprised if this whole thing ever gets off.
But Bob, didn't you? I'm reading the story, and you think, oh, okay, David Price is not going to play, and then Mitch and Bob, then you think, wait a minute, that's David Price. You know, that's the guy who was winning the World Series for the Red Sox 2 years ago. That David Price.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not just that David Price. That David Price who was going to pitch alongside Clayton Kershaw and Walker Buehler was probably going to be the best 1-2-3 in the game with a chance to win a World Series, another World Series, after playing 60 games. I mean, if that's not attractive to you as a baseball player, I don't know what else they can serve up. You don't have to play nine months.
Right,
you know,
right.
You play 60 games. You've got the best team. You are favored in the National League. You ought to be able to walk away with it, given the talent and the depth that you have. And all you got to do is play 60 games. And he says, no thanks. Now, that either means one of two things. And I am not going to attribute one or the other to David Price because I'm not in his head. One, he's legitimately scared of long-term health things. Look, there's news about the Broadway actor who just passed away.
It's just a horrible story.
Just horrible. And he was I think, 41 years old, not far from David Price's 34. And there are other athletes who have gotten it who have said, even I think we heard from, who was a basketball player who from Utah, Rudy Gobert, who said he's still not really back. He still has breathing issues. So he could be legitimately concerned that even at 34, he's worried about his health or he's worried about passing it on to his family. Or it could be, I don't want to play a whole year, get into shape, do all the stuff I got to do for a third of my money. I'll just sit it out and my body will recover and I'll come back and get paid for 100% of my money, which is pretty much what it comes down to, right? Aren't the players basically going to make about a third of their money?
And Mitch, I don't want to go through everything I'm going to have to go through just to get inside the ballpark every day.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing. The abstract was one thing of getting the 113-page report and all that, but the reality is when it sets in.
Now got the word intake. Intake has come to sports. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, the reality of the life, that the nomadic, monastic, existence, the incredible restrictions, the do's and the don'ts life that they're going to lead. It's not appealing.
Bob, remember, by comparison to the NBA, these guys are on a tropical island drinking pina coladas. I mean, they get to go home every night.
Yeah, right.
And they get to go from city to city, and they get to travel. I mean, if they like life on the road, they're still going to have it. This is why I don't know how Major League Baseball is going to pull it off, because even though they've regionalized the travel, they're still flying. So what difference does it make?
Yeah.
And so now the NBA is the only one that has the monastic lifestyle right now, and the NHL, which we'll get to in a minute, that they're talking about. But if baseball players are taking this attitude, I think it'll probably end up being a bit of a combination of both. Worry about health. And, for 30% of my money, there's a lot of people who watched The Last Dance and saw Michael Jordan walk away from his sport for 2 years and come back great. And now he was playing another sport, but there's something that goes around professional sports that says, if I've been in it for a long time and I'm in my 30s, a year off might actually regenerate me. I might come back better. Now, if I'm a 34-year-old pitcher, I'm playing because, you start to go at that age, and I want to get in every season I can. But maybe he just figures he'll be stronger at 35.
And Michael did it at what, 37 going on 38, Mitch? I mean, he was not a kid.
No, he was younger than that.
He finished when he was 40 with the Wizards. He was 40 when he played his last game for the Wizards.
But he went to baseball at 34, I think, or 35, right? He came back when he was 35.
Yeah, and then he retired from basketball again.
Right.
And took 2 years, right? He took 2 years off
he came back late in the second year.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah, No. I'm talking about when he went to the Wizards. After he retired, after The Last Dance, I think he took 2 years off before he played 2 years with the Wizards and finished at the age of...
But 1994, that he went to baseball, and he was born in 63. So, no, he was only 31.
No. I'm talking about when he retired for real from the Bulls and then came back and played the 2 years with the Wizards. I believe he did that when he was 37 going on 38.
Yeah, he played till 98. So, yeah, he was 35 when he left the Bulls, and he came back at 2001, so that was 38.
Yeah.
38 so, to 40.
And when you look at Price, again, and his circumstances are a little, everybody's circumstances are different. Mitch and Bob, I keep saying this, the guy I'm watching here is Trout. Trout's the biggest star in the game. The Angels actually have prospects in a short season. They're getting the Shohei kid, as I call him, the Shohei kid, Ohtani back, okay? They might actually make some noise. And if he walks away from that, what kind of message is that going to send to everybody else in his sport? So I'm waiting to see, you know, did you think he sounded conclusive that he was going to play the other day? He didn't sound that way to me.
No, not at all. No, but I just want about summing up Price, though. He is sui generis. There's no question. Mitch, we both have experienced him, you know, as reporters. Incredibly bright, no doubt. Vanderbilt and all that. He's very bright, very, very opinionated and very
forward. Very sensitive.
Yeah, he's complex, no question. And he is, there aren't too many guys quite like him. I mean, the whole package. So I think he's, you just got to put him, he may be an outlier in that regard. I don't know.
Let's shift to another.
Let me just ask you guys one more question. Okay. Let me ask you one more question because you know how bullish I have been that baseball is going to be played. Okay. Are you convinced 2.5 weeks away from the July 23rd opening day that we're going to make it to the post?
85, 87%, 88%. But yeah, I mean, I'm not 100%. No, that it's foolish for anybody to feel it's 100%. But I think you can feel a degree of you know, confidence that, but without stopping short of a guarantee. Yeah.
What do you think, Mitch?
Here in Detroit, they start. I don't know what it is in New York or Boston, but here in Detroit, they showed up at the park on Friday, so they have been holding their spring training, or whatever you want to call it, since Friday, and they're holding their breath to make sure that they can pull this off. I think when you've got your own team and all you have to control is your own team in your own city, they'll probably take a few hits, but they'll probably pull through it because that's a more controllable thing. Everybody's going to the same place at the end of the day, and the manager can say to them, listen, guys, stay home. You know, you're with your wives and family, and so it's not that hard. Once they start the actual season, I think that's where you're going to see monkey wrenches thrown in, and you're going to start to get alarming reports because players are going to be trapped to travel. Every game, remember, represents one team that had to travel to get to that stadium, and one team that therefore is then not going home but going to a hotel or whatever it is, and that's going to be difficult to control. And as soon as you start to see the monkey wrenches show up there and some positive tests show up there, I can absolutely see this thing starting and stopping.
All right, and before we continue around the horn in professional sports, a reminder that we are sponsored, as always, by Geico. Did you know that right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to make you breakfast in bed with Belgian waffles and fresh fruit compote? As nice as that sounds, that's probably never going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. One more question, Mitch. Speaking of taking a hit, what the hell were the Yankees thinking having Masahiro Tanaka on the mound in what was essentially the first day of pitchers and catchers against Giancarlo Stanton the other day and taking one off the noggin? I think the next day they put something between the pitcher and the hitter. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen.
It's brutal to watch if you've seen it. It's brutal to listen to because you can hear the ball hit his head. How he had a CT scan, it was negative. He said he was, you know, was feeling it, but he's going to be good and he's going to get back out there. It is, you're right, Mike. when you're trying to ease into this stuff, the hell are you doing? First of all, against Giancarlo Stanton, it's not a guy. It's like, even if you're not using a net for some guys, maybe you see him come up and you say, you know what, I'm just going to, you judge a couple other guys, I'm just going to put this net up here, protect me. And they do it as a matter of course anyhow. It's not like they don't have this equipment. So, and they did it the next day, as you pointed out. They are incredibly lucky. They didn't need this kind of a headline after all the other potential headlines. That
oh, my goodness.
Oh, my
Mitch,
goodness.
You're right about the sound. I was an unfortunate witness many years ago to the Bryce Flory occurrence here in Boston when he was hit by a Yankee batter. And I was in my seat, which is about roughly 25 rows up from the field in the reserve seat section. And I can tell you with all honesty, I'll take the sodium pentothal, I'll take the dye detector. I heard the splat. And it's a sickening sound. Oh. And he never, that was the end of him. So yeah. Tanaka is incredibly fortunate.
And Bobby, here's, I said this to Mitch before, okay? In your life, in February, on the day the pitchers and catchers are on the field, you wouldn't have a simulated game. I know they're on an accelerated thing. You wouldn't have Masahiro Tanaka pitching to Stanton or Judge or pick another guy on a bet. I can't imagine what they were thinking.
They weren't thinking.
That's the answer. Anyway, by the way, if you haven't seen it, don't go find it because it's not pleasant to watch.
Meanwhile, moving on to other sports, the NFL continues to be planned to start on time, which means the first weekend in September. But last week, the NFL decided to shorten its preseason from 4 weeks to 2. Now the NFL Players Association has taken a vote saying they want to cancel all the preseason games. I said this earlier on the program. We keep all of us being proven prophetic. And which I'm glad, because otherwise we'd just be portenders of doom all the time. But the fact is that a lot of this stuff is coming to pass. And I said, there's no way they're going to play preseason games. It's not worth it. You don't have fans in the stands. And it's just an opportunity for them to get sick. And the fact is, the NFL wants to get to games that make them money. And the best way to get to games that make them money is to keep as many guys healthy for as long as you can. Now, this may be a fool's errand because, as I noted in baseball, this may very well be a start and then stop after a few weeks. But they want to get started, and they want to get started with the stuff that counts. And so I don't know what kind of revenues they pull in from a preseason game, but especially if coaches are not going to play their star players, they're not going to get the kind of ratings and not going to get the kind of money that they would get for the regular one. So I am predicting that the NFL will end up going along with this, especially if they continue to get bad news from a player here, a player there showing up positive, that they'll just end up starting like college football starts. First game counts, which will be in September. What do you guys think?
I want to know how they're going to get on the field first, Mitch. You were saying earlier, and you were absolutely correct, that golf is a sport made for the current conditions in the world, okay? It's made for it. I think tennis eventually will be, okay? I think you can play a tennis match. We've seen some of these startup tournaments, okay? Football's different, but basketball is different, okay? So how are you going to put those guys on the field in and have contact? Contact is a big word now in the world. Contact. Right. Contact tracing. Contact this. Contact that. What is training camp going to be like? Guys, I'll just tell you this. There's a Saturday morning softball game that I played for 1,000 years that I'm not playing right now. And that's just a Saturday morning softball game. What is the NFL training camp going to look like?
I've been wondering about this from the start, Mike, the efficacy of football. And the whole idea, it is a quote-unquote contact sport. Actually, it's a collision sport, but it's a contact sport. It's never... It's weighing on my head all along. I don't know. I mean, just the desperation and the finances of it and on every level, that are driving it. There's no doubt about it. And so,
well, you're not going to see guys walking away from the season the way you're seeing it in baseball, because they still stand to make all their money. And if you don't think that money is a motivating factor, you're just not paying attention to the world. Now, there may be some end of the roster players who say this is worth it. And basketball is different.
They've made their money. Yeah, right.
But football, they haven't made a dime yet, and they've got to play. And so we'll see if the league is going to – I mean, if the Players Association has voted no preseason, we'll see if the league is going to say, you know, tough crap, you're playing. And that's the way they want to begin this season, where they need the cooperation of the players like they've never needed it before, to endure things like they've never had to endure before. They say, Mike, to answer the one point that you pointed, that they've come up with some new kind of helmets, new kind of face masks on your helmet that, I don't know, somehow are going to protect you from breathing on the lineman that you're looking at for three hours. Good luck, luck. Good luck trying to breathe. But the NFL is a mystery to me. The only bigger one is college football, which we've talked about till the cows come home. And until I see it, I won't believe it. Here's another one to bring up. The NHL has now voted that they are going to do basically what the NBA is doing, but in two cities and in Canada. They're going to play, I think, in Toronto and Edmonton. Is that where they decided to do it?
That's correct.
And now here's my question, and this may sound a little Pollyannish, but I live in a town that is one of the few cities in America that's south of Canada. We are, if you had a Bryson DeChambeau could hit a ball from America to Canada. That's how close we are. And so we've got a lot of people in our city who go back and forth to Windsor, Canada, which is the first city that you hit over the bridge from Detroit. And they work there. They have relationships there. And there have been a lot of stories in our local media about people whose relationships have had to go on hold for 4 months because Americans aren't allowed into Canada and vice versa. And people they're engaged to, family members, all the rest, they can't see them. Suddenly the NHL is willing to say, okay, Canada and the nation of Canada is willing to say, we're not letting anybody in from America, but we'll let 300-400 hockey players in. You guys can come in. Now, if I'm one of those people who say, wait a minute, my fiance, I can't see my fiance, but this guy, because he shoots a puck, you're going to let him in? They have a legitimate beef. So right off the bat, they're going to get blowback on this from people in Canada and people in, and probably not as many people in Canada because they love hockey, but people in America. And then they're going to try to do what they're doing in the NBA. But this is a similar situation. They've already played most of their season. They're not inviting all the teams like the NBA isn't. And they're trying to try to get their playoffs in August, which is always a great time to play hockey. And apparently that's what they're going to do. Bob, you follow hockey.
Well, I was going to say that in terms of the fairness part, that we all can always fall back on the sad reality, life is not fair. And we learned that a long time ago. Someone defined it for us. I believe it was JFK. It's not fair. All right. That argument will be waved off by Trudeau, who's already given his okay to this, period. And you're right. It's a culture that we do not, what football has become to us, what baseball once was to us, hockey remains in Canada to a large degree. So it's going to have a plurality opinion of approval. It's not going to have a universal approval. But I would guess that it's going to go over reasonably well. That's that. So he's given his approval. So they're just going to brush off the individual boo-hoo of a few people.
Or all right.
You think they can pull it off? You think that's a sport
why
that
not?
Can...
I don't know. I don't know, but they seem confident, that they can. I just don't.
I'm more confident in them, Mitch, than I am in the NBA. And before we stop today, I wanted to ask you guys, because I've been thinking about this, and we've touched on this slightly before. Do you not think that coming out of this thing, with the exception, hockey will probably stay the same, baseball will stay, do you not see the reimagining of when the pro football season will start and when it will end, and when the NBA season will start and when it will end? Okay. Don't you think that when this is all said and done, that if, say, we get a vaccine, say the world gets back to some sort of normalcy in 2021, do you not believe that we're going to see an NBA season that, you know, future NBA seasons that are going to start on Christmas Day and end in July. And we're not, and we're going to see an NFL season that's going to end on the last week of February, Sunday in February, as opposed to the first Sunday in February, because that month is just sitting there waiting to be eaten alive by the NFL with their postseason.
I think that's a very good possibility.
But what's the why of it, Mike?
Well, first of all, the NBA season it shouldn't start in the middle of college football and pro football and at the end of baseball. I actually believe that's true. Okay, and Bob, you've loved this sport your whole life. Don't you feel that the season starts with all those games on Christmas Day?
I think that that's a growing sentiment that I don't really. I'm not passionate about it one way or the other. I mean, I learned to live with the calendar, a long time ago, and it's it's been okay with me. But I'm not opposed to change. So I'm put it that way.
And
I'll roll with the punch as a you know, longtime fan of the sport, and my whole quote unquote career was built on the sport. That I'll roll with the punch.
And Mitch, if you play the NBA Finals in July, what are you competing against? You are competing
against. That's what I was trying to think while you were talking about, you know,
you're competing against the baseball all-star game.
Why was it ever this way? You know, did it go back to a time when nobody wanted to compete with baseball because baseball was just the biggest thing, and so you wanted to be done before
the calendar
baseball
season? The calendar just laid out the way it laid out. There was a time when the NFL championship was played at the end of December. Then it was, you know, then it was the middle of January. Then it was the end of January. Yeah. Then it was a big thing when they went into February. All I'm saying is, for all of them, the NFL would love, their only competition would be the NBA regular season, and in February they would grab that from pitchers and catchers and all that stuff. The NBA, it makes perfect sense, okay? And maybe, Bob and Mitch, it'll give them a chance to do something else they should do but probably won't, which is shorten the season a little bit. So yeah. It's not 82 games anymore.
The only thing I could see being an issue, I know it doesn't necessarily mean a lot, but every 4 years they'd run into the Olympics. And, if they were basically playing their championships in July.
But the summer games are in August now, right?
You can't play your championships in July and start an Olympics in August. I mean, you know, they do at least a month ahead of time, getting the team together and playing some exhibitions and all the rest of that. That's the only thing that I could think of. And maybe the Olympic Games move back a week as a result, or 2 weeks as a result of that. It's not, I can't find any fault in it. I just keep wondering why they didn't do it up till now.
Right.
But,
right.
You're right. Competing with baseball in June and July or July and August is not really a terrible thing. Now, the NFL, you know, does start its preseason, but maybe they would start later, too. I don't know. I mean, the most important part of it, Mike, is that they may need to do that to provide an off season for the players because of coronavirus.
Right.
You know, like the coronavirus is going to push everything back, and unless you want to start calling players back right away. We already know that this year, if everything goes according to the plan, they actually play the playoffs in the NBA. They're not planning on starting the season until Christmas, right? That's their plan right now. The 2021 season, I think, is they're planning to start at Christmas. So that might just fall into place because otherwise, at some point, they're going to have to shorten the off season. They're going to have players coming back after 6 weeks, which isn't going to work very well for their health.
Well, you know. It's
Let us get to that world, Mike.
All right.
You know, be nice to get to that world.
All right. Last question for today, okay? In December of this year, knowing how much everything changes on a weekly and monthly basis with this pandemic, are all the big-time sports leagues, forget about golf, forget about tennis, going to just wish that they had said, we're not doing anything again until 2021?
There's some potential, I don't know if I would use the word catastrophe, but major upheaval that is certainly is possible, right? So, and which would, the answer to that would make that answer to that question, yes. And there are people out there, that are, I mean, even J.J. Redick come out and said he just was questioning the wisdom of their playing at all.
Anyway, something to think about.
It's just asking. Yeah. it's just asking, you know, look at the way that the tentacles have spread throughout, college and high schools and canceling of seasons, which has been done widespread and a lot more to come, I think.
And I'll say that I think that maybe internally they might feel that way, like, I wish we hadn't ever tried this. But I still think that there's a value to trying to make it happen if it can for the country. And I'm not one that tends to put a lot of credence into how important sports is for the country. I think that's sometimes an overblown argument, and in real life, it doesn't really change anybody's life. But in this particular unfolding of what's happening in America, I think any kind of distractions and sense of normalcy to avoid the depression and the anger that we're seeing, that is just a result of 4 months of life unimagined, would be healthy. I think the ability to come home at the end of what's already difficult work environments, whatever, and watch a ball game for many people, whatever type of ball game that is a sense of security and normalcy that it would be very, very welcome for mental health right now. So as much as we talk a lot about it being dangerous, and it is, and talk about it being flawed, and it is, and talk about it maybe even being doomed, and it may be, I still like the fact that they're trying it, because I think it would be good for fans and good for the country in its own way.
Amen. Amen.
All right, we're going to leave it there, and we'll be back on Thursday. Thursday is the day the NBA teams gather, I believe. The bubble opens officially, I think, on Thursday. So you'll hear a big sound.
Bubblicious.
The bubblicious open.
How does a bubble open, actually?
Well, we have three days to figure that out. Until we see you on Thursday, remember you can get this show on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, all the popular places. Leave us a comment, leave us a rating. We always appreciate that, if you would. And on behalf of Mike Lupica and Bob Ryan, this is Mitch Albom saying it. See you on Thursday.